Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Ram Goldar and today Maseches Gittin, Daf Mem Dal, the fourth parak Hashalech. The Zichud Maseches Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zichud Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis had taught that one who sells his slave to an idolater must buy him back and set him free. A brisa states, Gavo b'chovo o shalakachu sikrikon, if an idolater forcibly collected the slave for his debt, or an extortionist took him, well, yatzel cheres, he does not go free since he was not willingly sold. Now this is a challenge from a brisa which states, harsha ansu beis amel garno, if the king's household forcibly took his granary, im b'chovo chayv laaser, if it was taken for his debt to the king, he must separate maaser from his own produce for what was taken. So we see that a debt collected by force is considered as if it was voluntarily sold. The Gemara answers, Shani Hasim to come Shtarshile. There it's different because he gained by the amount he would have had to remove as Miser. Since all the grain was accounted towards as debt, he stands to profit from the Miser he would have had to remove if he had kept the grain. Point number two, Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Asi, Machra Avdu Vameis, one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, Maushi Yiknesu has been no Achra. What is the lach regarding penalizing a son who inherits the estate to require him to buy back the slave? This cannot be resolved from similar cases. Even if you say regarding Tsarm Ozen Bechor, if a kohen nicked the ear of a Bechor to disqualify it as a carbon and keep it, that just as the father is penalized and cannot shech the Bechor based on this blemish, the son also cannot, that may be specifically for a deraisa mitzvah. But regarding a deraban prohibition of selling the slave to an idolater, perhaps they would not penalize the son. On the other hand, even if you say regarding one who scheduled work for Chol Moed, which is rabbinically prohibited, and a violator is penalized to lose the product, that his son is not penalized, that may be because he never actually worked on Chol Moed, but died before. But one who did sell the slave, perhaps they penalize the son as well. This is resolved from a ruling about Shemitah, that if someone fertilizes field, he may not plant in it in the eighth year, yet if he dies, his son may plant it. Regarding a sold slave as well, the son is not penalized. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a slave who is sold to Chutzlaritz goes free. Rav Hanan reported that he heard two rulings from Shmuel, one about this law, and another regarding Hamocher Sadeu B'Shnasi Yovel Atzma, one who sells his field during Yovel itself, during which fields previously sold are returned to the original owners. Rav says Mechur B'Yotza, it is sold and immediately leaves to return to the seller's ownership. Shmuel says, Eina Mechura Kol Iker, it's not sold at all. Shmuel ruled that the money is returned to the buyer in one of these cases, but not in the other, but Rav Anan did not recall which was which. Rav Yosef resolved the question from a brisa, Hamocher Avdol Chutzlaritz, one who sells a slave to Chutzlaritz, Yatzel Echeres, Vetzarech Get Shichur Merabu Sheni, he goes free, but requires to get Shichur from a second master. Clearly, the second master owns him, proving that the money is not refunded. It follows that regarding the sale during Yovel, which was ineffective, that the money is refunded. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis taught that one who sells a slave to an idolater must buy him back and set him free. A brisa states, Gavo b'chovo o shalakachu sikrikon, if an idolater forcibly collected the slave for his debt, or an extortionist took him, well, yatzel cheres, he does not go free since he was not willingly sold. Now this is a challenge from a brisa which states, Harsha ansu beis amel garno, if the king's household forcibly took his granary, im b'chovo chayv laaser, if it was taken for his debt to the king, he must separate maaser from his own produce for what was taken. So we see that a debt collected by force is considered as if it was voluntarily sold. The Gemara answers, Shani Hasim to come Shtarshile. There it's different because he gained by the amount he would have had to remove as Miser. Since all the grain was accounted towards as debt, he stands to profit from the Miser he would have had to remove if he had kept the grain. Point number two, Rabbi Yirmi asked Rabbi Asi, Machra Avdu Vameis, one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, Maushi Yiknesu has been no Achra. What is the lach regarding penalizing a son who inherits the estate to require him to buy back the slave? This cannot be resolved from similar cases. Even if you say regarding Tsarm Ozen Bechor, if a kohen nicked the ear of a Bechor to disqualify it as a carbon and keep it, that just as the father is penalized and cannot shech the Bechor based on this blemish, the son also cannot, that may be specifically for a deraisa mitzvah. But regarding a deraban prohibition of selling the slave to an idolater, perhaps they would not penalize the son. On the other hand, even if you say regarding one who scheduled work for Chol Moed, which is rabbinically prohibited, and a violator is penalized to lose the product, that his son is not penalized, that may be because he never actually worked on Chol Moed, but died before. But one who did sell the slave, perhaps they penalize the son as well. This is resolved from a ruling about Shemitah, that if someone fertilizes field, he may not plant in it in the eighth year, yet if he dies, his son may plant it. Regarding a sold slave as well, the son is not penalized. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a slave who is sold to Chutzlaritz goes free. Ravanan reported that he heard two rulings from Shmuel, one about this law, and another regarding Hamocher Sadeu Bishnasi Yovel Atzma, one who sells his field during Yovel itself, during which fields previously sold are returned to the original owners. Rav says Mechur B'Yotza, it is sold and immediately leaves to return to the seller's ownership. Shmuel says Eina Mechura Kol Iker, it's not sold at all. Shmuel ruled that the money is returned to the buyer in one of these cases, but not in the other, but Rav Anan did not recall which was which. Rav Yosef resolved the question from a brisa, Hamocher Avdol Chutzlarts, one who sells a slave to Chutzlarts, Yatzel Echeros, Vesarech Get Shichur Merabu Sheni, he goes free but requires a Get Shichur from a second master. Clearly, the second master owns him, proving that the money is not refunded. It follows that regarding the sale during Yovel, which was ineffective, that the money is refunded. All right, so now we go to Simon Daf Mem Dalet, and her standard simon is mud. Mud. So here goes. The muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died. From shock, when he found out he'd have to refund the money for the muddy field he sold during Yovel. Once again, it's a motion. The muddy slave mud. That must be learned off Mem Dalet. The muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis taught that one who sells a slave to an idolater must buy him back and set him free. A brisa here states that if an idolater forcibly collected the slave for his debt, or an extortionist took him, well, Yatzel Cheres, he does not go free since he was not willingly sold. So the muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died, which reminds us, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Asi, Machar Abdul Bameis, one who sold a slave to an idolater and then died, Maushi Yiknesu has Beno Acharav, what's the halacha regarding penalizing a son who inherits the estate to require him to buy back the slave? So the muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died. From shock, when he found out he'd have to refund the money from the muddy field he sold during Yovel, which reminds us, one who sells his field during Yovel itself, during which fields previously sold are returned to the original owners, Shmuel ruled that the sale is not valid and he must refund the money. So once again, the muddy slave who was forcibly taken by an idolater, collecting on a debt, was put to work in a mud pit next to a slave who was sold to the idolater, who was praying his master's son would have to buy him back after his father died. From shock, when he found out, he'd have to refund the money for the muddy field he sold during Yovel. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Hazara. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool. So here goes. The tranquil scene of the freed slave getting married to a free woman in front of his master by the pretty green pool. Pool, that must be more on Daf Mem, Mayim. The tranquil scene of the freed slave getting married to a free woman in front of his master by the pretty green pool, which reminds us, Rebbe said, Eved shenases bas chorin bifnei rabo, a slave who marries a free woman in the presence of his master, Yatzel Acheres. He goes free because his master would not have allowed this if he had not previously freed him. So the tranquil scene of the freed slave getting married to a free woman in front of his master by the pretty green pool, attended by a sad slave whose master had made him hefker and therefore could not get married, which reminds us, a Maimar said, a mafkir avdo, one who is mafkir's slave, oso evit enu otakana. That slave has no remedy to marry. He explains that once the master monetarily disowned him, only regarding prohibition to marry Jews is he in the master's domain, and he cannot free this dominion in a slave he does not monetarily own. Another version of a Maimar is quoted. So the tranquil scene of the freed slave getting married to a free woman in front of his master by the pretty green pool, attended by a sad slave whose master had made him hefker and therefore could not get married, was disturbed when a master in the crowd whispered to his friend, I made pony my slave into a free man. And the slave sitting next to him responded vehemently, he did not make me free. Which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, Omer Asisi Pony Avdi Ben Chorin, one who says, I made pony my slave into a free man. Bahu Omer Lo Asa'ani, and the slave says, he did not make me free. We presume that he transferred the get shichur to the slave through another person who acquired it on the slave's behalf who wasn't aware of it. Daf Mem Aleph. So the simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma. That must be in Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotiki on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, which reminds us, the mission the previous daf taught that an eved whose master designated him as an apotiki as payment to another in case he would be unable to pay, and he freed him, by rights the slave has no obligations, but for tikkun olam the master is forced to free him, and the slave pays his value to the master. Rav Shimon Gamliel says the one who freed him pays his value, not the slave. Two different pshatim for the machlokas are given. So the grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotiki on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, rebuked her two grandsons where one had freed his half of a slave and told them that the poor slave won't be able to marry a shivcha or a nice Jewish girl. Which reminds us, the next mission states, Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, one who is half slave and half free man. Basil say, Ovid is rabo yom echad as atzmo yom echad. He works one day for his master and one day for himself. Beishamai object, dikantim as rabo v'chetzio. You've resolved his master's problem, but you have not resolved his own problem of being unable to marry, since he's forbidden to both a slave woman and a free woman. Beis Hillel ultimately retracted and ruled like Beis Shammai. So the grandma with the green hair who designated one of her slaves as an apotiki on a loan to buy some knitting needles and then freed him, rebuked her two grandsons where one had freed his half of a slave and told them that the poor slave won't be able to marry a shivcha or a nice Jewish girl, and that her knitting partner said even one person freeing half his slave via money or get shichur is questionable. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Brisa, if one frees half his eved, Rebbe says he acquires his freed half and becomes a half slave. But the Chachamim say it's ineffective and he remains a full slave. Rebbe says that they all agree that a slave can be partially freed through money based on a drasha. Their dispute concerns partial freeing through a get shichur, where this method of emancipation is compared to the other method of money, or is compared to a get of a woman which cannot operate partially. Rebbe Yosef explains that the Tanaim disagree about partial emancipation both regarding money and regarding a get shichur. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simur Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, that must be more in Daf Mem Beis. The mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune, which reminds us of Brisa which taught that one who writes his possessions over to his two slaves teaches that the slaves do not even acquire themselves, is where he said he gives half to each slave. So even if he gave to both simultaneously, he may have intended to give the same half to each slave, leaving each one's second half for himself. So the mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune was furious when his half-freed eved was gored by a bull on the day that he worked for himself, which reminds us, Gemara says that if an ox gores a half-slave, if he was gored on a day that his work belongs to his master, damages are paid to his master. Yom shel atzmo la'atzmo. But if he was gored on the day that his work belongs to himself, the damages are paid to himself. Still, he cannot marry a slave woman on his master's day and a free woman on his day because isur lo ka'amrinan. We cannot say his status changes daily regarding prohibition. Only monetary arrangements can be divided this way. So the mobster in the green pinstripe suit who made the meaningless gesture of telling his two slaves that he gives them each half of his fortune was furious when his half-freed eved was gored by a bull on the day that he worked for himself and was told that he may not be able to collect kenas for the eved that he freed but was awaiting a get shichur, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Mu'ukav get shichur, a slave who has been freed but needs a get shichur, yeshul kenas or einul kenas, does he have the law of kenas that if he's killed by someone's animal, the owner pays the master 30 shekel or not? Do we say that since the pasuk says the money is given la'adunav to his master, and this master who has no monetary ownership is not a true master, or do we say that since he still requires a get shichur, he is still called his master? Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simur Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine. Magazine? That must be more in Daf Mem Gimel. The master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if a slave of his kenas writes to his slave was valid. Which reminds us, at the end of the previous daf, a question was asked, Evish Mechal Rabu Kenas, a slave whom the master sold only for rights to the kenas, which would be paid if he's killed by someone else's animal, is this sale valid? This question is expressed in the context of Mechokas Hanayim regarding whether Adam Makna Davar Sholubo Olam, a person can transfer that which does not yet exist. So the master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if a sale of his kenas rights to a slave was valid, sat next to his wife who was engrossed reading her Shaduchim for Slaves magazine with the cover picture of a half-slave being Makadosh, a free woman, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, Misha chetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin, shekidash bas chorin ma'u, one who is half-slave and half-free man, who is Makadosh, a free woman, what's the halacha, meaning is the marriage effective for his free half? The question is explained, even if we say about a free Yisro who said to a free woman, be married to half of me, that the marriage is valid, that may be the chazil kule, because she's fit for all of them, meaning a full marriage, but perhaps a half slave who's incapable of a full marriage cannot perform a half marriage either. On the other hand, even if we say that kedushin of a free man who says, be married to half of me is not valid, that may be the shayer b'kinyano because he left out part of his acquisition by not making complete kedushin. But with a half slave whose entire freed half is marrying her, the kedushin could be effective. So the master flipping through the pages of his green slave market magazine to see if his sale of his kenas rights to a slave was valid. Sat next to his wife, who was engrossed reading her Shiduchim for Slaves magazine, with a cover picture of a half-slave being Makadish, a free woman, which included a fascinating interview with a half-slave woman who married someone and then married someone else after being freed. Which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what is the din if a half-slave woman marries someone, then becomes fully freed, and then marries someone else. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which stuff do we discuss whether the law of Knas applies in a case of a slave who was freed but awaiting his get shichur? That's on Duff. Membeis. Good number 2. Which stuff do we discuss a chesi shivcho who marries someone, becomes fully freed, and then marries someone else? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good number 3. Which of the going according to Shmuel, purchase money is refunded for land sold during Yovel? That's on Duff. Mem Dalet. Good number 4. Which stuff do we discuss if a master's sale of his rights to a slave's knas is valid? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good number 5. Which stuff do we, when a slave forcibly taken by an idolater as collection on a debt is not bought back and set free? That's on Duff. Mem Dalet. Good number 6. Which stuff do we discuss what the halacha is if a chetzi eved chetzi ben chorin is mekadesh, a free woman? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good number 7. Which stuff do we discuss a case where the master told someone he freed a slave and the slave says he was not freed? That's on Duff. Mem. Good number 8. Which stuff do we discuss whether one transgresses me'ila by benefiting from his hektish slave's hair that's ready to be cut? That's on Duff. Lamentesque. Good number 9. Which stuff do we learn about a case where one sold a slave to an idolater and then died, and we discuss what the halakha is regarding penalizing his son? That's on Duff. Mem Dalet. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do we learn the one who writes his possessions over to his two slaves, where he gives half to each slave, the slaves do not even acquire themselves? That's on Duff. Membeis. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar Mizrachi wishing you a great day and great learning.